Thanks for tuning in. Well, isn't that perfect? Time Magazine, Person of the Year, the protester. The global protester. And I think what a lot of right-wingers in this country don't understand is that Time Magazine's acknowledgement of the Person of the Year has nothing to do with Time Magazine endorsing that person. After all, Hitler, Stalin, Gingrich, Bush, I think, they've all been on the cover as Person of the Year. It's not an endorsement. And this apparently is what the right-wing half-asses in this country, especially those clustered over at Fox, the Rupert Murdoch terror broadcast organization, don't understand. Because I saw a clip of the couch sitters over at Fox this morning all simultaneously wetting their pants when somebody announced that Time Magazine's Person of the Year was the protester. In this country, that would be the Occupy protester. Time's acknowledgement is not an endorsement. It's not an accolade. You can take it any way you want. As over the years, Time has gone out of its way to try to explain, it is the person who has had the most effect on life in this country, awareness, life in other countries, hence a Stalin or a Hitler or a Gingrich. Now, having said all that, for the sake of you right-wing trolls who don't understand what Time Magazine's Person of the Year acknowledgement is all about, such dummkopf. Man. Having said all that, I think it is a very honest and straightforward decision on the part of Time. Let me tell you, this is how it starts out. Listen to this. Once upon a time, when major news events were chronicled strictly by professionals and printed on paper or transmitted through the air by the few for the masses, protesters were prime makers of history. Back then, when citizen multitudes took to the streets without weapons to declare themselves opposed, it was the very definition of news. Vivid, important, often consequential. In the 1960s in America, they marched for civil rights and against the Vietnam War. In the 70s, they rose up in Iran and Portugal. In the 80s, they spoke out against nuclear weapons in the U.S. and Europe, against Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza, against communist tyranny in Tiananmen Square in Eastern Europe. Protest was the natural continuation of politics by other means. The term massive and effective street protest was a global oxymoron until suddenly, shockingly, starting exactly a year ago, it became the defining trope of our times, and the protester once again became a maker of history. Now, that's pretty powerful. And like I said, the couch sitters at Fox and the right-wing pundits who don't have a clue as to what history is, and certainly not what Time Magazine's Person of the Year acknowledgement is all about, can just continue to sit back and choke on their own bile. You people are going to be nothing more than not even a footnote. Right-wingers eventually will be one of those asterisk-defined footnotes of history. Right-wingers in this country. It's coming as surely as Mama Nature made little green apples, right? But I thought it was great. It was great of Time Magazine to acknowledge, how could they not? That's the point. How could they not acknowledge the massive, almost simultaneous consciousness raising brought about by street protest? Let's hope that citizen multitudes will continue to take to the streets. Let's hope this continues I don't relish the idea of being arrested again, and I'm sure most people who have been arrested in the past 6-8 months in this protest renaissance would care to be arrested again, unless it's necessary. They can't lock up everybody. Oh, I know, they can damn sure try, but they can't lock up everybody. And I would suggest very directly and non-threateningly to all the so-called liberal and left-wing commentators on radio and television, get off your asses and get into the streets yourself, or shut up. That's one thing I get tired of. People who can talk the talk to a fare thee well, but when it comes time to actually get off your television throne or out of your hallowed radio studio and get your ass in the street and do what you interview people about. Get off of television. Get off the radio for 1 day, 2 days, if you have to spend a night in jail. Go ahead. Let's see you do it. Ooh. Well, there goes what remaining friendships I might have with so-called progressives and liberals. Again, you know, good for them. Talk the talk. Get off your ass and walk the walk and see how it feels. Here's a way to respond to bullies. This is from Bellingham, Washington. Police say a weekend reveler, that means drunk, who yelled slurs at a lesbian couple, he was thrown to the ground and pinned by one of the two women. Then he was arrested and booked for malicious harassment. That's according to the Bellingham Herald, which first reported the story Monday. Officers responded to a call reporting a fight in downtown Bellingham at about 1:30 a.m. on Sunday. Public Information Officer Mark Young told MSNBC.com in a follow-up call, when police arrived, they were told that the suspect, one William Adam Lane, 22, I love this story, confronted two women outside a bar early Sunday, yelling, "Anti-gay slurs! Hey, what are you doing? You're goddamn lesbians!" when he saw them embracing, right? The two women attempted to ignore this punk, who is suspected of intoxication. No kidding. Then he smashed the rear window of a nearby Toyota that belonged to one of the women. And he was then started approaching them in an aggressive manner. The public information officer said, quote, one of the women threw him to the ground and pinned him. A local nightclub owner came out to help. So he was booked into the Whatcom County Jail on 4 counts, including malicious harassment, which is a hate crime and a felony. And he was released on $2,000 bail. The women were not identified, and it was not clear whether they were going to pursue charges. It was unclear whether the women, ages 23 and 30, would be pursuing the charges. Like I said, the public information officer said the two were not hurt. But they could press assault charges because the punk allegedly acted in a threatening manner towards them. You got to love that story. You've got to love that story. Bunch of goddamn queers. Come here, you little punk. And pinned him to the ground. Oh, way to go. Way to go, you little halfwit. I love that story. We'll be right back.
time you listen to radio, God kills a kitten.
Past the hour. Did you subscribe to the New Yorker? I do. The Talk of the Town section is always gets my attention first. Hendrik Hertzberg also always gets my attention first. He's got a piece in here about Newt. And here's a little excerpt. Imagine, if you will, a man who, as Speaker of the House, orchestrates the impeachment of a president for an adulterous affair with a White House aide 26 years his junior, while he himself is conducting an adulterous affair with a congressional aide 22 years his junior, having earlier left the first of his three wives while she was hospitalized with cancer. Imagine a man who attributes these behaviors to, quote, how passionately I felt about this country at the time, end quote. Imagine a man who told he can't sit in front of in the front section of Air Force One shuts down the government. Imagine a man who becomes the only House Speaker ever to be disciplined for ethics violations. Imagine a man who, in a country just staggering out of the worst recession of the past 50 years and facing the threat of worldwide economic collapse, proposes to hire small children to work as janitors, mopping floors and cleaning toilets in their schools. Or their orphanages, perhaps. Imagine that man as Commander-in-Chief. It's no stretch for him. His fantasy life is so rich that he has already compared himself to Lincoln, De Gaulle, Thatcher, Reagan, and for sheer perseverance, Ho Chi Minh. The providential self-destruction of the three previous non-Mitt Romney frontrunners, Bachman, Perry, and Kane, will have done nothing to diminish his sense of himself as a man of destiny. And neither do the polls. The latest CBS News, New York Times survey of likely Iowa Republican caucus goers shows Gingrich with nearly double Romney support. Among white Christian evangelicals, it's more than triple. And among Tea Party loyalists, it's well north of 4-1. You might think, you might imagine that family values voters would have serious doubts. You might think that Tea Partiers especially would recoil from this consummate beltway operator and frequent ideological apostate. Career politician, self-proclaimed intellectual, million-dollar purveyor of advice as a historian to Freddie Mac. Chummy video partner with Nancy Pelosi in decrying global warming. Opponent of mass deportation of undocumented immigrants. Critic of Paul Ryan's draconian deficit plan as right-wing social engineering. But no, you would be wrong. These people in Iowa, these so-called caucus goers, what the hell is wrong with you people? You Tea Partiers, you phony Christians, Newt Gingrich, please launch him. Launch him as your candidate, please. Barack Obama will slice and dice this punk like a Vegematic going after a soft-baked potato. Go ahead. Do it. I'm all in favor of Newt Gingrich being the Republican nominee. Please let that happen. But it just amazes me the depth, the breadth, the height, the volume of the hypocrisy that resides like a beating heart inside every single conservative. You people are stunning in your hypocrisy. You are knocked down stunning. God. Oh, well. The Saudi woman that was sentenced to death for practicing witchcraft and sorcery was beheaded day before yesterday, according to the Saudi Interior Ministry. She is the second such execution for sorcery this year. These are the Bush crime family's business partners. These are the people who dictate how much your gasoline is going to cost. These are the people who are great and wondrous allies in the Middle East. A source close to the Saudi religious police, coming to your town soon, told Arab newspaper Al Hayat that authorities who searched her home found a book about witchcraft, 35 vials and glass bottles full of, quote, an unknown liquid used for sorcery, end quote. According to the Interior Ministry, her death sentence was upheld by an appeals court and the Saudi Supreme Judicial Court. The director of Amnesty International's Middle East North Africa program, as you can imagine, called the beheading deeply shocking. The Saudi embassy in Washington, D.C. did not respond to ABC News for a comment. Beheading. Wow. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. You better stop the thing that you do. I said, oh, watch out. I ain't lying.
Right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Tomorrow night on this program will be a rebroadcast, and then Friday night, Brad Friedman will fill in for me live. It's a rebroadcast tomorrow because I will be hosting or emceeing or something, a gathering with Greg Palast in Atlanta to talk about his new book, Vultures Picnic. As a matter of fact, the show tonight is brought to you by Vultures Picnic. If you haven't read this book, you should go get it. Okay, I got a free copy, all right? But I'm just about finished with it, and it will unravel whatever that twisted knot is in your head about BP. I realize that the BP tragedy in the Gulf has all but faded. It's just drifting away. Who remembers that Newt Gingrich, for example, came up with a word list back in 94 when he led his so-called Contract on America? How to identify Democrats as anti-family and anti-life and use words like dark and death and who remembers this stuff? Who remembers the BP oil spill or oil eruption unless you live in the Gulf? That's what Vulture's Picnic is about. You can get the first chapter free at Greg Palast, P-A-L-A-S-T, gregpalast.com, or at vulturespicnic.org. Go read the first chapter, and I bet you buy the book. A couple of emails here. From Susan in Sunny Squim. I don't know, that city always gives me the shivers. That's in Washington State, right? I don't know. Mike, Jill Stein is a Green Party candidate for president. I'd like to see her get some recognition. She has some great ideas, especially her Green Deal that you can read about at jillstein.org. S-T-E-I-N, jillstein.org. A look at the latest environmental news, which is more grim than ever, should convince us that time is running out. Check on Daily Coast for the latest shocking discovery. I think we have have to finally realize that the two political parties are beyond being able to help us. We must abandon them both. The planet is dying, and the climate change summit in South Africa that just ended has convinced me that our leaders will do nothing until people start dying in the streets. As a retired field biologist, I've been watching the situation for years now, as it has gone from bad to worse to critical. All the signs have been in place for so long that it's amazing to me how foolishly they are being ignored. Instead, everyone is fighting over the economy. Can't they see that there will be no economic health until there is environmental health? The freaking planet is about to go Venus, for crying out loud. Our fellow lefties in media are just as bad as the right is on this issue. Recently, they spent days screaming about Obama rejecting the morning after pill for teens. Don't they realize that the pill won't matter at all if there is no morning? Susan in Sunny Squim. Reason she sent that to me is because the other night, I said that, excuse me, while I've been an advocate of not voting for any either political party for the longest time, it seems like, I don't know, for the past 5 or 6 years, I did a complete 180 on, was it Monday night or two? I guess Monday night, and said that this year I'm going to vote for Democratic candidates for the legislative branch of the federal government and advocate for them and probably vote for I don't know about Obama. I still haven't made up my mind about that. I really haven't. You can vote a split ticket here in Georgia, so I just don't know. You can even, I think you can do a write-in candidate here for president. But I said after advocating against voting for Democrat or Republican, never vote Republican unless you want to kill your own children. I'll vote for Republican is just that. If you want to kill your children or your parents or your grandparents or your nieces and nephews, then vote Republican. Oh, and of course you'll be killing yourself too, but I said many, many times the Democratic Party is gone. I went through this whole rap on Monday and I'm not going to repeat it, but, I will be voting Democrat and advocating Democratic votes for the House and Senate. And hopefully this will be the last time. You know, it's one thing. It really is. It's one thing. And I've done this. I mean, this has been my story. It's one thing to scream about the corruption of both political parties. I have screamed long and loud. It's something else again to advocate for the abandonment of both of them and go third party. Yes, indeed it is. But it's something else again to all of a sudden get slapped upside the head and realize, well, wait a second. At this critical point when fascism is just a hairbreadth away from becoming our system of government, or as Mussolini called it, corporatism, is this a good time to start pushing, oh, I can go vote green, I can go vote independent, I can vote communist, I can vote socialist, I can do all of that if I want to what effect? Now, I think Susan and Squim and I have the same goal. It's just how to get there. The goal is to try to stop the utter and absolute and final destruction of the planet, at least insofar as human beings are concerned. You know, trying to avoid this massive die-off that's being predicted or whatever. Maybe it's all bat snot. But how to get to that point? Is this a time to go for third or fourth party candidates? Maybe it is. You got to vote your conscience, folks. And that's why I decided to vote Democratic yet one more time. And again, I'm not advocating for the Democratic Party or for Barack Obama. And yes, I am advocating for the lesser of two evils. And yes, I know that the lesser of two evils is still evil. I understand. But one more time, in a legislative election that we have every 2 years, I'm going to vote Democratic. With the hope that this is the problem, though. The Democratic Party has always been fractured. has always been splintered. We're not robots. We are not led by the nose like these filthy conservatives are. It's very easy to lead a conservative. You just scare his ass, and that takes about 5 seconds. And once you have him scared about, I don't know what, liberals, Muslims, secular humanists, then you can make this freak do anything you want him or her to do. And Democrats are not that way. We're not followers. We're not joiners. So, that's one of the reasons why the Tea Party has this huge hierarchical structure. And the Occupy movement is just three or four paces beyond, short of anarchy. And I mean that in the good sense, anarchy. I'm not talking about the media term anarchy. Anyway, so while Susan is squim, wants to see the planet not end, so do I. I think any clear-thinking liberal or progressive or Democrat wants the same thing. The Republicans couldn't find their ass with both hands on this issue. They don't know what we're talking about. The ones riding around their cars right now, listening on XM or Sirius to this program, go, what the hell is he talking about? Oh, Jesus Christ. Where'd this guy come from? How many stations is he on? You know, the usual squat noises these people make. But Susan, all day today I've had a twisted neck from doing such a quick 180. But I'm going to do it one more time. I have a report from Prairie 2 here I want to get to. And what else do we have tonight? Oh, yeah. Mission accomplished. You know, a lot of people are trying to figure out why the Cheneys have surfaced out of the whatever slimy hole that Dick and the daughter that parades her ass around on Fox, Liz? Is it Liz Cheney? And he parades his corpse around the same place, and then they get invited on ABC or, I don't know, Today Show, whatever these morning programs are. Do you know why they're there? Do you know why all of a sudden they're out there with their mouths hanging open and the poison coming out? It's because Barack Obama, I don't care how you look at this. I understand there are going to be 15,000 non-combatants, so-called, left behind in Iraq. I understand that they're all going to be clustered in the largest U.S. embassy in the history of the human race. I understand that. But the combat troops are coming home. So you want to split hairs? Let's go ahead and split them. The combat troops are coming home. This thing that he said he would do. 8 years ago, goddamn George Bush, under the direction of Dick Cheney, stood on the deck of a aircraft carrier and said, combat operations in Iraq have ended, and we are victorious, or whatever he said. Are you perfectly comfortable going to war with a moral sanction against the law? Are you perfectly comfortable fighting the world? If you're perfectly comfortable with all that's been done, gaze at your daughters and gaze at your... With my heart on the line, I'd rather look a fool than never have tried. Hunger, short on joy. How much longer you gonna keep the world hungry and bored?
The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
10 before the hour. It is church night. I'm not really into it tonight because there's so many other things to cover here. But I thought you all might like this. A church in Auckland, New Zealand. St. Matthew's in the City Church, to be exact, in Auckland, New Zealand. They put up Christmas billboards around that city. And they have one now. It shows the Virgin Mary holding one of those pregnancy test sticks, and it has a positive reading. And she's got this shocked look on her face. And the church says the billboard is aimed to, quote, avoid the sentimental and trite, quote, unquote, and also spoke, quote, spark thought and conversation, end quote. It bears no text. It's just Mary sitting there, or, you know, this depiction of the Virgin Mary sitting there looking at one of those white, what are those things called? Pregnancy test sticks. And it registers positive. Last year, the year before, they ran another Christmas billboard. It featured Mary and Joseph in bed. And I had a tagline, poor Joseph, God was a hard act to follow. Okay. The vicar of the church said this year, St. Matthew's in the City Church wanted to focus on what it was like for a real mother with a real child. The vicar said, it's about a real pregnancy, a real mother and a real child. It's about real anxiety, courage, and hope. And on the church's website, the vicar says the lack of text on the billboard is intended to provoke thought. The website says, quote, we hope to do so with an image and no words. We invite you to wonder what your caption might be, end quote. The billboard will stay up until Christmas Day. It's kind of ballsy on the part of the church, huh? Or as, what's his name? As, damn it, Hal Sparks would say. It's not ballsy at all. It's very uterusy. And if you know his routines, you know what that means. Barack Obama today saluted troops returning from Iraq, insisting that the nearly 9-year conflict was ending honorably, with, quote, not with a final battle, but with a final march toward home, end quote. He was at Fort Bragg, a base that's lost more than 200 soldiers from fighting Iraq. He never tried to declare a victory today. He said it was a war, or he didn't say this, but we all know it was a war that he opposed from the start, and that he inherited. There is debate about the survival of Iraq. It will probably break into a federation. The Kurds are already dealing with ExxonMobil. Is it ExxonMobil that already had their goddamn claws stuffed into the north of Iraq, grabbing whatever they can grab? Man, I'll tell you. It's just, so the Kurds, who are supposed to be, I know about the Kurds. I know enough. Okay, we don't have to. Don't send me emails about the Kurds. I understand. I really do. But right now, the Kurds in northern Iraq, they are Iraqi nationals until such time as they, you know, put together Kurdistan, I guess, is the ultimate goal. But anyway, interesting that an ethnic group, or a nationalist group, whatever you want to call them, within the borders of Iraq, which are phony to begin with, is making deals with American oil companies with no consideration of the central government. You know, so you've got that to deal with. All U.S. troops are to be out by December 31st. And, of course, we will keep lots of civilians there. Anyway, John McCain was on in the well of the Senate today doing what he usually does. He issued a particularly harsh verdict on Obama's handling of Iraq. He said at the very end, I saw this, he said, quote, I believe that history will judge this president's leadership with the scorn and disdain it deserves, end quote, and then turned around and walked away. Now, this from a guy who was an ultimate terrorist. He was the cowardly type. John McCain didn't strap bombs to his body and bail out over Hanoi and wait until the army surrounded him and pulled the plug. No, no. What McCain did was bomb and strafe from the sky. He would kill anything that got into his gun sights. John McCain was the absolute type of warrior coward. You don't agree? And he was finally shot down and held prisoner for a number of years, and he claims tortured. His arms are an indication, the way he can't raise his arms, that he certainly was held in a stress position, I think is what Cheney called it. Stress position for God knows how long. But John McCain was the type of a killer who defines the word terrorist. And John McCain is the type that had there been a international war crimes trial after Vietnam, he probably would have, like the German High Command and the Japanese High Command, he probably would have been sentenced to either long prison term or death. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Probably her.
It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program. This hour is sponsored. Ta-da! Oh, it's one of those loved ones. By Dr. Tim McNamara. And thanks, Tim. He has a message. Sandy, you are and always have been the love of my life. For all of the nights we must be apart, you are with me wherever I go. Merry Christmas to the one whose gift to me is eternal. Whoa! Dr. Tim! How about that? From Dr. Tim McNamara to Sandy, you are and always have been the love of my life. For all of the nights we must be apart, you are with me wherever I go. Merry Christmas to the one whose gift to me is eternal. Well, I'll tell you what. Thanks for the sponsorship, Dr. Tim, but our best to you and Sandy. Isn't that nice? Where was I? Oh, yeah, talking about Obama welcoming the troops home. What a horrible... And John McCain, just doing his typical John McCain cowardly murder fascist thing that he is so good at. Oh my God, he's good at that, isn't he? There's nothing really there to talk about, so to hell with that story. What did John Lennon say? War is over if you want it to be. So from Prairie 2, okay? Follow the money is the subject line. Bruce writes, the Federal Reserve came out again this week saying they are committed to keeping interest rates near zero until at least 2013. Let me digress. Boy, if you got any money, this would be a hell of a time to buy a house, wouldn't it? Oh, that's right. If you have any money. Never mind. Bruce writes, it doesn't seem like much of a commitment if they need to reassure us after every Fed meeting that they haven't changed their minds. The problem is that the Republicans and their own flat earth economists keep screaming about runaway inflation being just around the corner. Be afraid, be very afraid, and buy our gold. They don't get it, or choose not to get, that since we are deleveraging a couple of trillion dollars of debt each year and will for years to come, inflation just can't happen. Speaking of gold, that you bought on the advice of Glenn Beck or Ron Paul, it's down about $150 an ounce since Friday. Gold funds are dumping their holdings to raise cash in order to cover margin calls. Most other non-food commodities fell more than 5% today as well. And the stock markets were down for the third straight day. European banks with branches in the U.S. are experiencing a good old-fashioned bank run as the euro problem is not being solved. And Bank of America. Bank of America has been hemorrhaging depositors as well. Some 99% protesters have been transferring their accounts to credit unions. But any large depositor would be nuts to stay with Bank of America with its $75 trillion worth of exposure to derivatives. Only, quote, quote, $47 trillion of Bank of America's derivatives have been transferred to its banking division from Merrill Lynch, but this is putting the FDIC on the hook to cover the insured portion of depositors' accounts. A big depositor would take a loss on the balance of his account not covered by the FDIC. Every time Bank of America gets a credit downgrade, it has to post more collateral on those $75 trillion in derivatives. Their banking division has a higher credit rating than Merrill, so this has held creditors at bay. But another downgrade will likely do in the bank! That is, unless the Fed intervenes. They can, and have, simply printed money to bail out the big zombie banks in the past. Remember the Bankruptcy Reform Act that Republicans passed a few years back? Besides screwing consumers, it moved derivative contract holders to the very top of the list to be paid from any bankruptcy filing. Customer deposit accounts are far down that list. This explains why a bank with a sixth of all U.S. deposits, Bank of America, would be able to cover the margin call on $47 trillion in derivative contracts, at least for now. This may well be where the $1.2 billion missing from John Corzine's MF Global went, but they're still looking. A Republican member of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission said today that its auditors have known where the money went, but they just aren't saying yet.
This is crazy stuff. It's just madness.
The Census Bureau, which we've talked about this so many times. I don't know. As a matter of fact, third hour, I'm going to be covering a part of this. The Census Bureau has come out with some numbers. Prairie 2 writes, homelessness among children continues to increase up nearly 40% from 3 years ago. Homelessness. Children. The census also reports November retail sales were up 6.7% from last year. This is the sixth straight month of increased retail activity, but the increase from October was only 0.2%. Black Friday, as I predicted, turned out to be largely hype. We are seeing some pent-up demand released as consumers are spending on things they have been putting off. And the rest is price inflation from fuel cost increases as well as food commodity speculation. Realistically, the trend in actual goods being sold is probably flat at best. Oh, and China is about to put a 21% tariff on the importation of cars from America. No matter that a large share of the parts came from China. Or maybe the tariff would be higher except for the credit we receive for, quote, domestic content, end quote. Keep in mind that we are already at a 40% price disadvantage from the undervaluing of the Chinese money, renminbi, enforced by China. Remember how free trade was going to open up a huge market in China? Oh, and the U.S. dollar dipped to under $1.30 per euro today as the specter of austerity creeps across Europe's economy. Hard-right political parties are gaining new traction in some countries there, even to the point of creating paramilitary wings reminiscent of early in the last century. Of course, their uniforms are probably made in China, just like American flags. Visit Bruce's website, prairienumeral2.com. Oh, God, I don't want to hear that again. The lights are going out all over Europe. Was that World War I or World War II? I guess it doesn't matter, does it? From Jamie. Hey, Mike, The Hill, among others, is reporting that, true to form, Obama has once again dropped his veto threat, this time for the heinous unconstitutional defense authorization bill that allows for indefinite detention without charge of American citizens picked up on U.S. soil. I heard the podcast of last night's show and your decision to support some Democrats. It's a choice we each have to make, and I realize that for presidential elections, the decision may also be influenced, at least in part, in where one lives because of the terrible electoral college that shreds the entire concept of one person, one vote. I am lucky in that the state I live in always goes Democrat for president. That said, I will not be voting for Obama next year and am starting to look into supporting Rocky Anderson. I am so tired of voting for blank, Mike. There's a bad word there. But I also understand that with our system, I'm not sure how much our votes count anyway. Not that it matters, but I haven't been able to get through on the White House line. Even if all the calls are telling Obama that he must veto this bill, it'll likely fall on deaf ears. Not holding out much hope for the Senate to block or even take a vote, especially given the last vote on an earlier version of the bill last week. What was it, 93-7 to pass? It's the last line of defense, no pun intended, for this issue. I certainly understand that. And Jamie included from The Hill the article, the White House said Wednesday, today, it will not veto the defense authorization bill because its updated language. My bad. Oh, wait, we got a break. We'll be right back.
They say Osama's in the mountains.
Past the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Dr. Tim McNamara. His message? Sandy, you are and always have been the love of my life. For all of the nights we must be apart, you are with me wherever I go. Merry Christmas to the one whose gift to me is eternal. That is about the sweetest dedication. Thanks, Dr. Tim. Almost got run over by commercials there. According to thehill.com, White House spokesman said Wednesday Obama will not veto the defense authorization bill because its updated language would not constrain the Obama administration's counterterrorism efforts. Statement released by Press Secretary Jay Carney said the president's advisors would not recommend a veto, a threat that had been hanging for the past month. The administration, according to The Hill, the administration won some changes in conference committee to the bill's provisions regarding the military detention of terror suspects, including the addition of a line stating that FBI and local law enforcement counterterrorism activities would not be affected by the law. The statement read from the Obama administration, quote, as a result of these changes, we have concluded that the language does not challenge or constrain the president's ability to collect intelligence, incapacitate dangerous terrorists, and protect the American people, and the president's senior advisors will not recommend a veto, end quote. With the White House veto threat dropped, the $662 billion defense bill, the $662 billion defense bill, will likely become law this week. The White House said it still remains concerned about uncertainty the new military detention rules could bring. Jay Carney said that if the administration finds that parts of the law, quote, negatively impact our counterterrorism professionals and undercut our commitment to the rule of law, quote, end quote, the administration expects the bill's authors will correct any problems. Yeah, I know, those are weasel words. So a couple more emails. This one from Alex in New York City. Mike, I'm very confused by your sudden advocacy of voting for Democrats. I would be less surprised if you hadn't specifically used the formula of vote for Republicans so that we can hit bottom sooner and turn this around, because that's the only way people will wake up. You've said that night after night for years. You have been nothing if not consistent, even self-destructively consistent. In an age when I honestly suspect that many other, quote, progressive talkers, end quote, are on the take from the DNC, I turn to you for rejuvenating point-blank nihilism. Oh, the more I read about the past 300 years, the more I see the left divided between reformers and revolutionaries, forever dueling. But the fact is, there are precious few of the latter, and fewer still with microphones. I may vote any Perot, Nader, spoiler that turns up, because in many respects it seems Perot was right. And Nader was arguably correct about some of his predictions. I suspect they were more accurate in their apocalyptic forecasts than in anything they said that was cheerful and uplifting. By contrast, doesn't it seem odd to keep voting for politicians who promise rejuvenation, but regardless of their armband color deliver death and perdition? The most effective slogans I can think of in this go-around, here's the first one. Vote nobody in 2012. Nobody cares about you, nobody deserves your vote, and nobody is working for a better tomorrow. So vote nobody in 2012. Or vote 2012. At least Republicans stab you in the face. Alex in New York City. Yeah, I hear you. I just want to be clear, though, that and I'm trying to avoid the very same weasel words that I just shared with you from Jay Carney. I'm not advocating an abandonment of the idea that both political parties have failed. Of course they have. I'm completely in agreement with that. Completely advocate getting away from them. Both. For me, the question was, is this the time to do it right now? And the answer, after thinking about it, don't freak. But my answer to me is no, this is not the time to do it. Now, when is the time? My idea is to vote in the district I live in, the congressional district, for a Democrat who has proven himself so far to be as progressive. He's a member of a progressive caucus. And I advocate that people around the country, if you only have a choice on the ballot of a Democrat and Republican, that you vote Democrat. But when I say advocate, that's too strong a word. Because a vote for any Republican is a vote for your own death and the death of the country, the planet. And a vote for a third party candidate at this time, unless it's Ron Paul, I guess Ron Paul might run an independent campaign, but any third party candidate vote for the most part is going to ensure the defeat of the Democrats, just like it ensured the defeat of the Republicans when Bill Clinton was elected president. You remember that, don't you? We'll be right back.
do it for you. It's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, this hour is being sponsored by Dr. Tim McNamara. Dr. Tim's message, Sandy, you are and always have been the love of my life. For all of the nights we must be apart, you are with me wherever I go. Merry Christmas to the one whose gift to me is eternal. Thanks, Dr. Tim. Regarding Jay Carney's statement that if the administration finds that parts of the law, quote, negatively impact our counterterrorism professionals and undercut our commitment to the rule of law, the administration expects the bill's authors to correct any problems. Kevin writes, Mike, I wonder how long it will be after this bill is signed into law before some Occupy protesters mysteriously disappear. If the president truly believes what Jay Carney said in the statement, then he is truly naive, Obama is, and not fit to be president anyway. From PD, Mike, the other night you said you were going to go to the ballot box and vote, even though you are pretty sure the machines are rigged. Why not vote absentee? Maybe you don't have it in your county, but I thought it was available to everyone. I'm pretty sure those ballots are counted by hand. Why not advise your listeners to do that instead of risking their vote on rigged machines? I don't get it. None of the progressives I listen to advocate this. Why not? I've advocated that a lot, PD, in the last general election, or in the last presidential election. Absolutely. And yeah, we do have it here. And yes, you're right. I should stop talking about running over here to the, what is it, Kathy, a Baptist church and voting and going to county courthouse and voting. Yeah, vote absentee. You're right. Don't you have to commit perjury, though, to do that? I don't know. I'm not sure. In some counties, you have to declare under penalty of perjury. Yeah, like they're going to find out, right? Under penalty of perjury that you will not be available to vote on Election Day, and that's why you are requesting the absentee ballot. But I guess any non-availability on Election Day, even one that you engineer yourself, is still valid, right? Whatever. From Gypsy, who writes, don't you agree that Obama and his drone murders are even more cowardly than McCain? Honestly, I feel he has outdone Bush, Cheney, and McCain with his indiscriminate, unapologetic murders by joystick that he, Obama, orders daily. I don't even know how he looks his girls in the eyes. I hope Ron Paul gets the GOP nomination. Let's have some anti-war, anti-imperialistic, anti-exceptionalism debates. Our previous congressional Democratic representative was every bit as destructive as our 2010 elected teabagger. God has helped us all. Well, I'm not sure who your Democrat representative is, Gypsy, but that's certainly true of a lot of congressional districts, yeah. I'm just reading the emails here, okay? I've had the debate many times about the lesser of two evils is still evil. I understand that. And I'm not advocating, even though I've used that word now a couple of times, any particular voting instruction or decision. I'm just saying from my point of view, if the Congress, and I mean both houses, if both houses of the Congress go Republican, it doesn't make any difference who's in the White House. It's all over. Some people argue it's all over now. I understand that, and it may well be. But there is still the illusion that it's not all over yet. A third of the Senate is up. I don't know what the Senate races consist of. I don't know who is retiring. It seems like all the Democrats constantly retire, and the Republicans just hang in there waiting for that glorious getting up morning when fascism has finally arrived. You know, I don't know. It's just the more I listen to the Republicans and realize these office holders and would-be office holders and realize how just completely goddamn insane they are. and what they will do to this country. Maybe it's going to happen anyway, the destruction of the United States, the destruction of the planet. Maybe it is, but as I said several months ago, I haven't given up hope. And I guess my way of translating that into political action is to do what I've done, participate to the extent that I can in street demonstrations, get my ass arrested, and when it's time to go vote, vote absentee, but vote for the Democratic candidate. Unless he or she is a real corporatist bastard, then there has to be some way to motivate people to challenge those Democrat corporatists in before the general election, in the primaries. I guess what I'm trying to do is trying to be strategic and maintain my faith, what little of it is left in the system. I don't know. Maybe it is the follower instinct in me. I don't know. Do you have that? I have the follower instinct. I really do. Most of us do, I think. If I knew that 20 million people were going to vote for Abe Snake, and Abe Snake was somebody I'd never heard of, but I looked at his record and saw that he really was a progressive, I'd probably go along with it, even though I didn't know anything about him. You know, and that's, I don't know, that's kind of dangerous. Most of us have that herd instinct, and I guess it's something to really struggle against. And that's what I'm trying to do. I just don't want to see everything go up in flames. And maybe they're not going to go up in flames at all. Maybe the whole thing is illusion. Maybe everything's fine. And maybe everything is right. The last goose step. The last, you know, step toward the La Brea tar pits. As Bob Alexander talked about. Oh, God. You know what he meant by that. Okay. So, I don't know. I can just remember, though, in 2004, just having a series of programs that just got damn near just verbally violent. I had people who swore they were long time. No, I guess it was 2000. Was it 2004? I know, certainly in 2008, when I refused to support Hillary Clinton. I said I was voting for Dennis Kucinich in the primary, and in the general, I would go with whomever the Democratic candidate was. And I listed the negative aspects of both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and Jesus Christ, if I'm to believe the kinds of emails I got, I lost so many listeners. A lot of female listeners who said that I was betraying, and once again, acting like a typical male, supporting the man over the woman. In the primaries, before I would support Barack Obama, I had a lot of emails from liberals calling me a racist. I mean, you can't win. I understand that. I'm not in this job to win. You know, this is just, it's just me and 38 people who get together around this electronic campfire. So it's not really that big of a deal. You know, I don't fancy myself as some liberal leader or some progressive leader. You know, that's not, I'm more of an Occupy type, you know? Just let me get in there. Yeah, I'll get arrested. Yeah, I'll go to demonstrations. But, you know, I'll keep my head down. I'm a body, you know? I'll add some mass, some weight to the movement. So I don't know if any of those listeners came back or not. And I have a feeling with this latest 180 on my part that I'm probably going to lose more. You know, people who will listen to this program, progressives or Democrats or liberals, to say, Jesus Christ, now Malloy has gone wonky on us. Okay, well, I'm sorry if that's how it comes across. And I mean that. I'm sorry if it comes across that way. I've just had to make a decision, and I can't sit here and advocate something knowing I'm going to do something different. You know, so that's why I thought I would just say, this is what I'm going to do. Because, if you're a regular listener to this program, you know I can't stand hypocrisy. And I can't do it myself either. I just can't. I cannot do that. So the reason for blabbing it on the air like I did on Monday, I think it was Monday, was simply to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do so that when you hear me talking a certain way, I'm not going to be talking that way and then sneaking around on election day and doing something else. That's all that was. Okay? We'll be right back. This hour has been sponsored by Dr. Tim McNamara. His message, Sandy, you are and always have been the love of my life. For all of the nights we must be apart, you're with me wherever I go. Merry Christmas to the one whose gift to me is eternal. Thank you, Dr. Tim, for the sponsorship and such a sweet message. Thank you very much. Brad Friedman sent me an email. Here's Brad listening. He'll be filling in Friday. Tomorrow night will be a rebroadcast, and then Brad live Friday. Mike, yes, you get to vote on paper by absentee, and if you are not allowed to vote on paper on election day, like you people in Georgia, then absentee is the best way to go. But, there is a but coming. It's, if possible, see if you're allowed to drop your absentee paper ballot off in person on election day at your precinct or county headquarters. Putting it in the mailbox is to be avoided if you can. Talk about black boxes. But in any case, here comes the but, those paper absentees will be counted by computers, unfortunately. Op-scanned on systems that are equally as gameable as touch screens. But at least you'll have a fighting chance to oversee the election and try to make sure your ballot is counted and counted correctly. More on all that Friday, I suspect. Brad. Yeah, we'll tune into Brad for that and other reasons on Friday night because we're a year away, roughly, from voting. But on the other hand, strategize, right? It does get very confusing. I don't know if it gets confusing for you. It certainly does for me. I've had emails now from people tonight who say I'm being confusing, and I certainly can appreciate that. But it's just trying to figure out some kind of a strategy to get through this. I don't know what the hell I'm trying to get through. I guess you do too. I try to maintain a non-doomsday attitude. I said the other night, a lot of input to this program from people whose work I really rely on, depend on, and whose points of view I thoroughly appreciate. people who are very erudite in the way they write. I wish Prairie 2 would use a spell check once in a while, but no, he's getting better. But a lot of it sounds very negative, but, you know, we are in a very negative time, aren't we? So it's just a matter of strategizing. All politics is local. All insanity can be local. All strategizing. You have to have, you know, the think globally, act locally thing. Or is it act globally, think locally, whatever. You've got two tracks, is what I'm trying to say. The track of your own personal life that does intersect and connect and reconnect and reconnect with everybody else on the planet. We don't stop and think about that very often, but you've got that individual track that you're on. Then you have the larger track, the track of whether or not the planet's lungs are going to keep breathing. You got to worry about your own lungs, but you worry about the planet's lungs, and the two are intertwined. Obviously, they're, you know, without the planet breathing, you're not going to. I'm not going to. All the little babies are not going to. So, how to get to that? It is very frustrating. It's very confusing. It's very throw up your hands in the air and walk into the woods kind of thing. You know, I feel that a lot. But there is no running away from this. There is moving to a more sane society. I can certainly appreciate that. I've had a couple of friends who've done that. If for another reason, just to get one's bearings again, because we do live in Wonderland here. I'm talking about Lewis Carroll's kind of Wonderland. I think the general attitude for most of us is just to avoid. You know, avoidance and denial are just key elements in survival, right? Up to a point. And I'm not trying to avoid. I don't think you are either. I'm trying to strategize. What can I do that connects me to the movement, on the one hand, and keeps me grounded in my own individual track on the other? And I'm not an individualist. I'm not one of those types of people. That's why I have 38 listeners instead of 3.8 million, is because I'm just not inclined toward that kind of, that sort of motivation. So I'm not an individualist. I'm a collectivist. But I also have a life, just like, you know, I mean, anybody can say this. This is not philosophy 101. Relax. No note taking. There's not going to be a quiz. I guess what I'm trying to do is justify or explain what I said Monday night about strategizing. What do we do at this point? Given the luxury of no global warming, given the luxury of no imminent collapse of what's left of civil liberties in this country, given the imminent possibility of complete collapse in Europe, the complete dominance of certain cultures that we are just totally not familiar with, what do you do at this particular point? I don't know. Maybe you vote for a third-party candidate and give the Democrats and the Republicans a great big middle finger. I don't know. I don't know. And hopefully over the next few months, there will be lots of input from our 38 listeners into this program about what a decent strategy is, and I'll be happy to share it with you as it comes in. All right, last night we talked about poor kids in public school. Tonight there's another issue here about children that are really suffering from this economy. And also an open letter from Dr. Kevin Barrett. You know him, don't you? I'm sure you do. So more fun and frivolity. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Molloy. 7 past the hour. And a reminder, tomorrow night, lost my voice. Tomorrow night, I will be hosting a meeting with Greg Palast in Atlanta at Manuel's Tavern. So if you are in the Atlanta area, Manuel's Tavern is the place to be tomorrow night. It starts around 7 o'clock, I think. And Kathy will be here in the studio doing a rebroadcast of a program from last week, maybe the Greg Palast interview program. And then Friday, day after tomorrow, Brad Friedman will fill in for me. I'll be back Monday. So if you're in the Atlanta area, try to come by Manuel's Tavern. It's on the corner of North Highland and North Avenue in Midtown, Atlanta, for the Greg Palast Lollapalooza. And, of course, this is all about his new book, Vultures Picnic. Palast, of course, is one of America's best investigative journalists who has to write primarily for British publications because he's too good for here, and one of the funniest. So, and by the way, as far as Vultures Picnic is concerned, you can get the first chapter free. Did you hear me? First chapter free at vulturespicnic.org or gregpalast.com. So check it out and get the book. This is one you should read, really. This is one you should read. And if possible, I'll see you tomorrow night at Manuel's in Atlanta. A couple of items here. An action alert from patriotboy.blogspot.com. Now, as you know, Lowe's, the home improvement company, pulled their advertising from the TLC channel's program, All American Muslim. A story about five families, a reality show about five families in Dearborn, Michigan, Lebanese Americans, Muslims, and a bunch of Christian bigots, the kinds of Christians who, if Christ showed up, if Jesus showed up, they would immediately cut his head off or nail him again to a cross. These are the kind of Christians that Gandhi talked about when he said, I like your Christ, I've got some problems with your Christians. But anyway, this group of freaks who call themselves Christians out of Florida complained to TLC. TLC immediately pulled the pulled their sponsorship from, I'm sorry, back up, Mike. The group in Florida of crazed Christians complained to Lowe's Home Improvement Company to stop sponsoring a show about Muslim American families. Now, these are the same types of people who would have said stop sponsoring shows about Japanese-American families in 1941 or two and would have backed the idea of throwing Japanese families into internment camps even though they were American citizens, blah, blah, blah. You know all about this. And the update on all this, of course, is the Defense Authorization Act that now includes sections about locking up American citizens indefinitely by the military if they are suspected of what? Terrorism. Uh-huh. But I digress. So this little act of cowardice on the part of Lowe's, this little act of just typical capitalist corporate hog snot on the part of Lowe's. And I, you know, I've shopped at Lowe's. Hell, I was just in there last week. Bought a screen door, didn't we, Kathy? That's now up. Jesus. But the action by Lowe's is not atypical of corporate America. Ooh, 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 some Christians complain. Ooh, ooh. Now, keep in mind that Christians, of course, are the most aggrieved group in America. They're constantly being hassled and pressured. Oh, my God, they've taken God out of the churches. The Christian God, of course. I mean, out of the schools. The churches are next. Because, you know, if gays get the rights, then they'll be able to force churches to minister to queers. You know, Christians are the most aggrieved group in America. They really are, according to them. They are the vast majority. They constantly claim ownership of the United States of America. They constantly claim ownership of the Constitution and the framers. But they are the most aggrieved group in America. They're also clinically insane. But that's a different story. So an action alert from patriotboy.blogspot.com, if I can calm down for a minute. This is posted by J.C. Christian, General J.C. Christian, patriot. Lowe's may have bowed to God's will and pulled advertising from TLC's All-American Muslim, the show with the gall to depict Muslim-o-libs as human beings. But the hardware appliance chain still promotes the Islamicidal agenda. They do so by using Arabic numbers in their pricing. Arabic numbers like 1, 2, 3 were designed by a Muslim named Al-Khwarizmi in DXXXXXVAD. These Arabic numerals were then imposed on the West by the great whore of Babylon, Pope Sylvester II, a man who constantly fingered his astrolabe in the late Xth century. Please write Lowe's today and ask them to stop exposing our children to Arabic Islamo numbers. Here's a sample letter. Dear Lowe's, we're not fooled by your paternalistic attempt to silence our righteous whining by pulling ads from the TV show All American Muslim. You are still exposing our children to the Islam in the Stop Prague agenda through your use of Arabic numbers in your pricing and measurement systems. We demand that you cease using these Islamo numbers immediately and replace them with good old-fashioned American Roman numerals. The change should not be difficult to make. For example, you'd simply change something currently priced at $1,783.84 to $MDCCLXXXIII.LXXXIV, nothing to it. Please make the change immediately. We are watching you, heterosexually yours. Put in your name. Lowe's email address, customercare@lowes.com. Oh, that's so sweet. Customercare@lowes.com. Get her done. And thanks to Irish Dave, who sent this in to me. Yeah, the gall of Lowe's to be using Arabic numerals, Arabic numbers. How dare they? How dare they? It's time to put a stop to this nonsense. Please write to customercare@lowes.com and tell them to stop ripping off Arabic numerals. Because the people who invented those numbers were Muslims. Muslims, I tell you. So every time Lowe's uses Arabic numbers, they are getting inside your head and slowly corrupting you with Muslim religion. Make them stop. It's America, by God. This is not some goddamn Middle Eastern country. All right. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. I was born in MCM XL.
Give up that ease.
radio right. From the left, it's Mike Pelloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Do you know who Kevin Barrett is? For those in the 911 Truth Movement, you know who he is. And other sources, Dr. Kevin Barrett, PhD. He was also, in 2008, a candidate for Congress in the Wisconsin 3rd District. Anyway, he's volunteered for permanent incarceration on a military base under the new National Defense Authorization Act, which will turn the United States into a, quote, battlefield, end quote. And whose authority mandates indefinite military detention for Americans who, quote, substantially support Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or associated forces, end quote. Barrett said, quote, I don't support Al-Qaeda and the Taliban completely, but I do feel some support for them, perhaps even a substantial degree of support. So under this bill, I believe I have the right to demand that the U.S. taxpayer pay for my food and lodging at a military base for the rest of my life, end quote. Jesus. So here's the open letter to the Department of Homeland Security. Dear Department of Homeland Security, as someone who could be said to, quote, substantially support Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or associated forces, end quote, I'm writing to turn myself in under the new NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act. Please send a U.S. military brigade, preferably the Marines, to indefinitely detain me. I'd prefer the Marines because I'm a big fan of General Smedley Butler, and I love Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket. I mean, let's face it, compared to the other services, the Marines are seriously cool. I suppose you want me to explain what substantially support means. Well, I'm wondering about that myself. If substantially support means giving money and weapons, then unfortunately I'm ineligible to be indefinitely detained for life and put up on a military base at the expense of the U.S. taxpayer. Of course, the only reason I haven't given Al-Qaeda and the Taliban any money is that they haven't asked. If bin Laden, who died in December 2001, returned from the grave one more time, dragging his seaweed-covered dialysis machine behind him and showed up on my doorstep with a begging bowl, I would definitely offer some spare change. And if Mullah Omar ever dropped by for a visit, I would offer him three cups of tea and plenty of sympathy. If he needed a few bucks, well, who am I to refuse charity? He could probably use a clean, shiny new glass eye by now. If, on the other hand, substantially support means to like or cheer for in the same way I substantially support, say, the Green Bay Packers, who are kicking almost as much ass in the NFL as the Taliban is in Afghanistan, well, then let me admit that I am a fan of bin Laden and the Taliban. The comparison is slightly misleading because I support the Packers wholeheartedly and unreservedly, whereas I do have some areas of disagreement with bin Laden and the Taliban. I think bin Laden's decision to become a lifelong CIA asset was misguided, to say the least. And I think the Taliban have at times behaved inconsiderately to Shiites and other non-Pashtuns, women, and gigantic stone statues. Nevertheless, I think bin Laden will go down in history as a hero for having the guts to repeatedly insist that he had nothing to do with 9/11. Those statements, which he made throughout September and early October 2001, may have sealed his fate. Then again, he was an end-stage kidney patient and wouldn't have lived much longer anyway. Additionally, Osama bin Laden was by all accounts a good, pious man as well as a terrific public speaker. I unreservedly support at least 95% of what he said in the many excellent speeches and public statements he made throughout his tragically curtailed life. I'm not just talking through my turban here. I was part of a translation team hired by an anthropologist at University of Wisconsin-Madison to translate a bunch of OBL speeches. Anyway, as far as supporting the Taliban, well, how could anyone not support them? These guys are bravely defending their country from a foreign invasion, just like we would do here if the Chinese invaded us. Remember, guys, aggression invading someone else's country is the supreme war crime and the supreme crime against humanity. It is worse than genocide. It is worse than torture, worse than gassing people, worse than firebombing cities full of civilians, worse than nuking cities full of civilians. This is not my opinion. It is a fact, i.e. the established position of the profession of international law. Why? Because aggression paves the way to all other crimes. The right of people to defend themselves and their land by any means necessary against a foreign aggressor is the most fundamental human right, and the Taliban are exercising it brilliantly. Since I am neither a moron nor a psychopath, I have no choice but to support them. So please, send those Marines to detain me ASAP. As they march through my neighborhood, the battlefield, to my door, it would be wonderful if you could have them singing Battle Hymn of the Republic or Halls of Montezuma. I hope you can spare some bugle players and drummers for the occasion. And if possible, I would like to request a cell with a big screen color TV so I can continue to watch the Packers and the Taliban keep right on kicking ass. Sincerely, Dr. Kevin Barrett.
Your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Again, tomorrow night we'll be playing a rebroadcast, probably the program when Greg Palast was a guest. I'll be hosting or emceeing or whatever a meeting with Greg Palast and his many fans at a bar here in Atlanta, Manuel's Tavern. It's a book signing event, and I guess he's going to talk about things. So if you're in the Atlanta area, come on by Manuel's Tavern, corner of Highland, North Highland, and North Avenue. That's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. So there'll be a rebroadcast, and then on Friday, Brad Friedman will substitute host for me, and I'll be back Monday. Last night, we were talking about the performance of poor kids in school, kids who, through no fault of their own, are described as poor in an economic sense, and how the burden of educating children that come from a background that is not conducive to learning is dumped on school teachers, school administrators, principals, the entire educational system with no support. No acknowledgement. It's sink or swim. It's social Darwinism that starts in the first grade. And it sucks. And it guarantees that this country is dying. And as long as legislators continue to insist that there is no money for public education, but there are hundreds and hundreds of billions upon billions of dollars for weaponry, we are going to continue to sink into an abyss. What did Bob Alexander say as we march toward the La Brea tar pits? We can all argue about whether or not we're going too slowly or too fast, but we're still marching toward the tar pits. The failure of a society to take care of its children, totally, to me, is an abomination and surely defines that society as being one that deserves to collapse, that deserves to fall apart, that deserves to die. Really. I mean, I believe this with all my heart and soul. There's nothing more innocent than a child. Being a parent, I speak on that subject from experience. So do you. You know, whether you're a parent or you have nieces and nephews, it doesn't make you a grandchildren. It makes no difference. You know what I'm talking about. I don't care if you've been a good parent or a bad parent, a mediocre parent. You know someplace inside you, even Jesus talked about it. for you Christians. Most religious faiths talk about the preciousness of childhood, of children. And to do what we're doing and have done in this country for the past 60, 70 years, spending most of our treasure on weaponry and death and destruction while we have children who aren't eating properly or children who don't have support systems for health care. What a goddamn abomination. I mean, every American, including me, should hang our heads in shame about this. This is the perfect example of our failure, total failure as a society. And you right-wingers, kiss my ass. I don't care what you're saying as you're driving around your cars listening to this. I really don't care. The fact that you're a right-winger is an indication of the failure in your family. But to fail our children, you know, to have huge segments of the population of this country just do contortions. I mean, absolutely, to murder people in what they consider to be defense of a cluster of cells buried inside the uterine wall of a woman someplace. Ooh, isn't that wonderful? But once the child is born, screw them. Right, you right-wing hypocrites? Right, you Jesus freak liars? Yeah, I get pissed off. I really do. I get very angry. So now there's this. Barack Obama had recommended an increase in the child care subsidy in his 2011 budget. But it was not approved by Congress. The Republicans said, no, no money. We'll spend all kinds of money and energy to protect a zygote or a zygote or a fetus. But once the kid is born, screw them. You hypocrites. And stimulus money, which had raised financing in 2009 and 2010, is now gone. I'm talking about the federal stimulus money that helps parents from low-income families get child care. Child care. How many times have you heard these right-wing cockroaches talk about child care? Oh, government, child care, they're going to get your kid and turn him into a liberal. You filthy pigs. I mean, you really are. So now we have a situation where low-income working parents are facing, I like the word the Times uses, a paradox. Just when they have to work longer hours to make ends meet because of this filthy economy, this capitalist train wreck we're all involved in, these parents are losing access to the one thing they need most to stay on a job, a government subsidy that helps pay for child care. This you can thank Clinton for. This miserable son of a bitch back in the 90s with his Welfare Reform Act put together by Clinton and Newt Gingrich. Oh, well, you got to have a job. But there are no jobs. Well, then you're going to lose everything. But that doesn't seem fair. Right. The government subsidy that helps pay for child care is a mix of federal and state funds that reimburses child care providers on behalf of families. And as the Times points out, it is critical to the lives of poor women. But it's been eaten away by inflation and state budget cuts. And the fact that the financial services industry in this country destroyed everything so that the capitalists moved all their factories and all their jobs out of the country. So now the tax base that pays for this, the tax money coming in has fallen to the point where once again, another clear example of the United States going right down the crapper. And this time on the backs of poor people, always on the backs of poor people and now on the backs of poor children. Child care? Oh, no. We need more weaponry. You know, Iran. The vice chairwoman of the National Association of State Child Care Administrators said, quote, states have dropped their investment in child care substantially. We're being expected to do more with less. End quote. Dropped their investment notice the word, investment in child care substantially. The Times quotes or uses as an example a woman, Shantae Smith, a single mother in Baltimore, and her son are among nearly 8,000 families on a waiting list for the subsidy in Maryland. Pennsylvania's list doubled since last year to more than 10,000 children. Arkansas quadrupled to 11,000, according to the National Women's Law Center. And two states, Arizona and Utah, are no longer appropriating state general funds for child care at all. Utah, that great bastion of Mormon faith? Arizona? That singularly right-wing, oh, we're pro-family state? You damn hypocrites. And according to a recent study by the Law Center, the National Women's Law Center, families in 37 states are worse off this year than last year because the waiting lists are growing. Co-payments for child care is rising. Eligibility is tightened. And reimbursement rates for providers stagnated. Now, all that jibbledy-jabberdy translates into this. Mothers. It's always mothers, isn't it? Women with preschool children or skilled children who need after-school care can no longer afford it. Now it's a question of what do they pay? Do they pay for after-school child care so they can go to work? Or do they pay for food and car insurance and utility bills? One mother, the Times cites, on a waiting list in Virginia, said her 11-year-old daughter rode around in a city bus after school hours, watched over by the driver, who happens to be the girl's grandmother, until the mother got off work. Think about that. Would you let your kid do that? Women interviewed for the Times article said they left their children with grandparents, neighbors, cousins, siblings, and colleagues at a nail salon. And according to the experts, such ad hoc arrangements like leaving your kid with the friend of yours at a nail salon hinders early childhood development. Oh, really? No kidding. Some women have applied for help that's no longer available because the fathers stopped paying child support. To me, I'm sorry, men, but... Men who do not pay child support, unless there are extenuating circumstances that are excruciatingly hard to deal with, you deserve to be locked up. These are your children. You deserve to be locked up if you're not going to help pay to raise them. Talking about kids once again, who poor children, who are always the first to be slammed up against a wall, and then the social Darwinists wonder why we have such a low graduation rate, why we have kids who in the fifth grade and read at the second grade level, or in high school and don't understand basic elementary math. Because, then the right wing immediately, in their attempt to privatize education, they blame the teachers, they blame the principals, they blame the school administrators, instead of looking at the fact that because this is a country that doesn't give a goddamn about poor people, that doesn't care, especially not poor children. We don't have social support systems here that are rational and reasonable and all-inclusive. No. In order to qualify, you've got to prove that you don't need it, that sort of thing. But the woman I was talking to you about, the mother, one of the mother, the Times, New York Times, had an article about this, I think yesterday. But one of the mothers who works full-time at the Baltimore Housing Agency and has been on a waiting list since summer just to get some child care assistance. She applied because her son's father stopped paying child support and the monthly $520 she needed for her three-year-old's daycare was more than her salary could support. Her salary is $22,000 a year. Think about that, you multimillionaire cockroaches. Think about that, huh? $22,000 a year, and you don't care. You couldn't care less. Her three-year-old son? Eh. Now, if it was a fetus or a zygote, oh, Rick Santorum would be one of the first ones to jump up there with his millions and say, oh, well, listen now, here. No. Don't touch the zygote. But it's a three-year-old who desperately needs daycare while his mother works. Well, that's a different story. So this woman took her son out of daycare because she couldn't afford it anymore. And she ended up losing half her paycheck in unpaid days off because her regular babysitters, among them, Miss Smith's grandmother, who's on kidney dialysis, fell through. Her babysitters couldn't do it, including her grandmother, who's on kidney dialysis. Huh? You still with me here? The only way to get the subsidy, her caseworker told her, was to stop working and go on welfare. Ta-da! And then she is identified as a society-sucking, a poverty pimp, right? Isn't that what you right-wingers do? Her son is now back in daycare. Ms. Smith said, is the system set up for me to fail? Because that's what it feels like. So her son's now back in daycare, but how's she paying for it? Well, her phone was cut off this week. She's behind on her gas, electricity, and car insurance bills. That's how she's paying for it. Another woman, Monica Jackson, a bakery worker and a pharmacy technician in Norfolk, Virginia, was told that she and her husband, who's an Army reservist, he's out of work, he's looking for work. She and her husband did not qualify for the subsidy available still in Norfolk, Virginia, because their income, which is around $20,000 per year, that's less than Ms. Smith. 20, it's too high. It's too high. They can't afford child care, which Ms. Jackson said cost $1,400 a month, which is more than their rent. And she said, what do you tell people who call you for an interview? That I'm bringing my three-year-old and my 11-month-old with me? And then, as the Times points out, those who had the subsidy live in fear of losing it. Lori LeBeau, a customer service worker for an electricity company in Pennsylvania, said she had to ask her new boyfriend and her 8-year-old son to watch her little baby girl, who was at home screaming with a fever, because Ms. LeBeau had received too many warnings at work about taking time off to care for her baby girl. She said, if we get removed, from the child support assistance, it will be back on the waiting list for both kids. And she added, that will be havoc for me trying to find a new job. Well, that's enough. I mean, you know, you... like me, you can read the stuff and listen to the stuff and feel the outrage and, you know, until hell freezes over. But in the meantime, you can see a murderous, warmongering son of a bitch like Dick Cheney and his insane daughter parading around from television station to television network talking about how Obama is a failure because we haven't murdered everybody in Iraq. And that's where the money and the decision should go, murdering more people. Why isn't Dick Cheney in prison? In the meantime, we have people in this country who trying to keep their heads above water and have kids. And the federal government and the state government say, well, sorry, you know, if it were a cluster of cells, we'd figure something out for you. But since it's a walking or crawling or held in your arms little baby, to hell with you. Oh, and by the way, to hell with your kid. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
This dizzy